This is the warm-up act. The speech with the conductor or something before the concert begins. Happy Easter. We say Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral and to this celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. I know that there are many people visiting from here and away today, and we are just thrilled that this is the place you have decided to center upon for your Easter celebration this year. I have just a couple of announcements. No, for those who are visiting, we do not always have a wine party after our Easter celebration. But today we do, because our long-serving director of music, Michael Gormley, is retiring after today's services. So I will have more to say about that later, but just to alert you to what that's all about when you come up to receive communion and you see these tables and wine glasses. As for the service itself, communion will be administered here at the semicircular communion rails. There will be a standing station over by the Lady Chapel. There'll be another standing station about here. And then there will be a communion station at the back of the church. Those of you in the galleries, someone will invite you to come down and find the station closest to you. Others, if you would please just follow the direction of the sides people or the ushers, and they will make sure that nobody goes home unfed. That is our job this day. Following the service, in addition to a celebration for Michael in this space, there's an Easter egg hunt for the children, and that they could just gather. Have I lost Kate? I think they could just gather out by this door here by Burdett, and they will take them onto the south lawn or wherever this is going to be. And so hang on, kids. There's an Easter egg hunt at the end of the service. I think that's all I meant to say at this time. We in this Diocese of British Columbia are on a continuing journey of truth-telling and healing and reconciliation with our First Nations brothers and sisters. And in that respect, it is important for us to acknowledge that we who have gathered here today are gathered on the ancestral lands of the Coast Salish peoples. We gather here in thanksgiving and in humility for their stewardship of land which we now enjoy. Let us settle into the music that will allow us to celebrate with joy. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
May his grace and peace be with you.
Let us go forth in peace. Alleluia.
In the name of Christ, amen.
With Christ in baptism. Alleluia. O God, who made this holy day to shine with the glory of the Lord's resurrection, stir up in your church that spirit of adoption that is given to us in baptism, that we, being renewed both in body and mind, may worship you in sincerity and truth, through Jesus Christ our Redeemer.
Your light shines in the darkness. Alleluia. Let us pray. O Lord, who by triumphing over the power of darkness prepared for us our place in the new Jerusalem, grant us who have this day given thanks for your resurrection to praise you in that city of which you are the light, where in the communion of the Blessed Trinity you live and reign, world without end. Of God's glory and exact image of God's person, whom death could not conquer nor the tomb imprison, As you have shared our frailty in human flesh, help us to share your immortality in the spirit. Let no shadow of the grave terrify us, and no fear of darkness turn our hearts from you. Reveal yourself to us this day and all our days, as the first and the last, the living one, our immortal Savior and Lord.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Word of God, word of life.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I speak to you in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. This may seem an odd place to begin on this festival of festivals, but my sister lived with cancer. I remember so clearly her first course of chemotherapy, which caused her in short order to begin to lose her hair, a head of hair which I confess to having coveted for her entire life. She had, of course, been warned that this would happen. And when the clumps began coming out by the handful and her hair matting like the undercoat of a cocker spaniel, she said to her partner, "Nuts to this." And they went outside by the barn with the dog clippers, and he shaved the whole lot off. And here is the story she told me. Cindy lived on a good-sized country property with lots of trees and shrubbery and birds and birdhouses. And the next day, sitting by the window, what did she see but two birds tussling with a clump of her hair? One flown into the birdhouse, pulling, and the other on the outside of the birdhouse, pushing. One of the things I loved and love best about my sister is how much she enjoyed that moment. A few days later, I told this story to a friend who said, "Well, you certainly have your Easter sermon written." And to tell you the truth, I didn't think she was right. I wasn't sure she was anyway, but on reflection, I now believe that she was absolutely right. For here is the thing. To be a people of the resurrection, to be Easter people, is not just to believe that one day, 2,000 years ago or thereabouts, Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead, as if the whole point of Easter is to profess our willingness to believe as true what would otherwise be considered a dubious historical fact. It's not even just to believe that having accepted the truth of Jesus' own resurrection, we may by extrapolation hope that God will someday do the same for us. That is, raise us from the dead too. We do believe these things, of course, that Jesus rose and that we will rise. But they are only the paving stones. They're only the markers. If this is all that Easter is about, then the resurrection of Jesus has no more relevance to our life than buoying us up in the belief that death will not be the end of the line for us. And that is a belief, quite frankly, that only comes into hard play for most of us when we are staring the prospect of our own death right in the face. To be an Easter people has got to mean more than that. And this is where my friend was right. The story of Easter is the definition of a rhythm or a pattern that God wills to pulse through all of life and that is meant to shape our perspective and our expectations and our attitudes about just about everything. Easter people believe not that God prevents or intervenes to keep bad stuff from happening, at least not very often in my experience, but rather that God turns death, turns sorrow, turns loss to the purposes of life. And our job is to sit at the window and look for it, to name it, and to celebrate it. God did not keep my sister from getting cancer, nor from dying of it. God did not keep his own son from getting crucified. But what God did do, what God is doing, is moment by moment receiving our sorrows, our pain, our losses, the thousands of little deaths we die each day, and infusing them with this valence for grace, enriching them so that they carry within them the possibility, always, of something new, something better, something alive. There's a fabric, I must ask Kelly this someday, I don't know the name of this fabric. I want to call it sateen, but I don't think it is. But it's this silky, swishy fabric, and it's very finely woven in two colors, usually very different. Let's say yellow, warp, and woof, blue. Now, you might think that this particular fabric would be green, but it isn't. If you look at it from one direction, it is blue. But hold it up to the light, or look at it in a slightly different direction, and it's yellow. Easter people know how to see the yellow in what looks blue. Make no mistake, fabric is blue. Bad stuff happens. But it is in the hands of its maker also yellow. The yellowness isn't just wishful thinking. The resurrection of Jesus introduces a kind of life-giving double entendre into our lives. This is the double entendre. Baldness is for the birds. There's one other thing to note that belongs to the perceptions and expectations of a people shaped and formed by Easter, and it is this. Sometimes the life which comes out of death, isn't only or even ever about us. Now, to be sure, you know, one of the reasons we poison people with chemotherapy is precisely to save their life. But this said, the good that came out of all that hair lying in the garden, although it did give my sister great pleasure, it wasn't really for her, was it? Her loss feathered the nest, literally became part of giving life to another. And Easter people knows how to look for the signs of resurrection outside the orbit of their own limited, self-centered experience, and to be deliriously happy at the sight. Jesus did not embrace the cross so that he might be resurrected, even though he was, but that we might be. An Easter people is able to make sacrifices for the other, to give unstintingly of oneself, even to die, because we love the other. And because over a lifetime, we have learned that life does indeed spring from death. My friend was right about my sister. Hers is a resurrection story because it gives voice to the fundamental realities established for us in the dying and rising of Jesus. What happened to Jesus is the charter event, the signal, pivotal moment which reveals to us a God whose will is to turn death to the purposes of life. To be people of the resurrection is to be men and women and children whose pulse and impulse throb with unerring trust that something good, something holy, something alive can come from something evil, something profane, something dead, and that the one so blessed may actually be our neighbor, and not just we ourselves. Amen. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen.
Rejoicing in the resurrection of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, saying, "Hear our prayer." We pray for the church, for our Bishop Logan, our Dean Ansley, John, our Metropolitan, and Fred, our Primate. Unite all Christians in our shared calling to proclaim the gospel. Make us bold witness to the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the earth. Renew your creation with seasonable weather and growth. Protect plants and animals from the damage of excessive heat or cold, drought or flooding, windstorm or hail. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the nations. Bring peace to communities and countries torn apart by violence, unrest, war, famine, and natural disaster. Guide all refugees to safety. Bolster the courage of those who put themselves in danger to preserve the lives of others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for people everywhere. Free us from fear and renew us in faith. Bless the newly baptized and confirmed, those who seek to know your love, and all who come to your holy table. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for Canon Michael Gormley and his time in our parish as director of music. And we ask for God's blessing on him as he retires. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in need, for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially Joyce, Yvonne, Pam, Charlotte, and Tamara, Father Fred, Monica, Frank, Noah, Jean, John, Ian, Pauline, Chris, Barbara, the Gower family, Karen, Margaret. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, you reconcile light and darkness, night and day. Help us to be bearers of your reconciling love in all the places we encounter contrast, disagreement, and discord. Strengthen, uphold, and inspire our work towards reconciliation from those from whom we are divided and our solidarity with those who suffer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially Jim and those we hold on our hearts, and all who yearn for the fulfillment of your Easter promise of resurrection and life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, risen, ascended, and seated at your right hand to receive our intercessions. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Almighty God, accept the fruit of our labor with the offering of our lives, in union with our risen Lord, who lives and reigns with you forever.
Amen.
Our Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to our Lord God. We praise you, God of freedom, for you breathed life into the void and showed yourself as the one who loves in freedom. From the nothingness of slavery, you called a people into being and led them to springs of life. The presence of your glory went with shattered exiles into strange and distant lands and gathered from the valley of despair the flesh and blood of living hope. In Jesus, you confronted the powers that killed and oppressed. You spoke to those considered dead and helped them to stand again. He taught us to die that we might live. He gave himself for us, tortured and forsaken, but he could not be confined by death. In the garden, he speaks our name. In the breaking of the bread, he shows himself among us. By the lakeside in the new day, he calls us to take up his work. Therefore, with all who lost faith, all who walked away in sadness, with the women at the tomb and the men who hid in fear, we confess ourselves surprised and join in the undying song of heaven. We ask that your Holy Spirit will fall upon us and upon these gifts, that these fragile earthly things may be to us the body and blood of our Lord and brother, Jesus Christ, who on the night that he was betrayed, gathered with his faltering friends for a meal that tasted of freedom. Calling them to his table, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread,
and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it to remember me." As on that night, so here and now he offers himself in touch and taste beyond all words can hold. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore we come to him in whom all is created in heaven and on earth, whose cross and resurrection make all things new. We offer this to you, asking you to smile upon the gift we bring, for you alone are the giver and Christ's the gift through which we live once and for all. Through him who was emptied to bear your fullness, we make our prayer with all created life, to the glory of God who fills all in all, now and forever. Amen. Gathering our prayers into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Now we share in your resurrection. Live in us that we may live in you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May you find in Christ Jesus our risen Lord a companion for your journey, a sure ground for your hopes, the peace that passes understanding, and the joy that is life eternal, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Now, just before we sing, don't sit down, you don't have time. A word about Michael. Michael, cut, now, boot him around here, would you? Just. Friend, come up higher. I'm going to stick him. Oh, shut up. Do you know how many men's boutonnieres I have done at their weddings? I actually know the trick, unlike most florists. You only need one pin. Michael, we're going to have a few words to say to you and about you shortly, but we did want to. He has to go upstairs and conduct, right? While we sing the Hallelujah Chorus. So get your singing voices and the hymn. But I just want to say a word about this party. All right? The party is in the church because we don't have a space big enough otherwise. And because what better place than to continue a celebration? There are cake and wine stations and ginger ale. I think it's ginger ale. Two at the front here. Two, I feel like a flight attendant, right? Two in the narthex, which is, for those who aren't au fait with Anglican, that's the porch. Okay, in the porch, two in the porch. So feel free to head in any direction that works for you and then mingle throughout the space. Once we feel that people have had a chance to get something in their hand, we'll have a few things we would like to say to Michael. But for now, just this invitation to all, doesn't matter if you knew Michael well or not, the point is that he has made music for the worship of God, and that's why we're all here, and also for the music making of the city, and I'm sure there are people here because you just live in Victoria, so away you go. Thomas, it's time to sing.
Receive the good news. Christ is risen from the dead. Tell the good news. The power of death shall no longer oppress us. Live the good news. We are free to love as he loved us. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.